Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. The white smoke went up today just before we went on the air, so we had to spend some time talking about that, even briefly today, and pick it up more next week. A new pope was chosen. We'll talk about who he was and what that might mean. And last part of our program, we are to pleasure and honor to have with us right now Sister Mary Aquin O'Neill, a sister of mercy and a theologian, one of our most important theologians, I think, co-founder of the Mount St. Agnes Theological Center for Women. And Sister Mary Aquin O'Neill, welcome to the show. It's been too long, and welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be back with you, Mark. Thank you.
So talk about this man who was chosen first and what you know about him. This was my comment when I heard about Cardinal,
Bergoglio.
Bergoglio, Cardinal Bergoglio, when he was chosen from Argentina. A conservative a theologian, opposed to liberation of theology, but fighting for social justice, on the other hand, and a man who lives very humbly. No chauffeured limousine, lives in a small apartment, cooks his own food. There's some complexity here. What are your thoughts on this choice?
Well, first of all, I was stunned. I didn't expect them to go for someone this old. I really didn't. I thought, especially when Pope Benedict said that he was not, he didn't have the energy for the job. I thought he was sending a signal that they would listen to. So this really caught me off guard. And I must say, though I was reading everything I could get my hands on about the Papabile, Cardinal Bergoglio didn't appear in any of the lists, not in the tablet, not in the Commonweal, not in America, not on National Catholic Reporter. though John Allen did do a profile of him, which I apparently missed, but I did go back and pick it up today in preparation for this conversation. There are a couple other things I can add to the things that you just mentioned about him. He's the son of Italian immigrants. They were railway workers in Argentina.
Hmm.
So I think that explains his ability to speak Italian so fluently. But also, it makes him a bridge between Europe and Latin America, which is very important. At some point, he trained as a chemist, so he has a science background. He is a Jesuit.
Yes.
Which makes him the first Jesuit to be named Pope,
Really, the first?
That's what I read. I got this from the Internet, so you know how reliable that is, but I can't think of another Jesuit Pope. There's a lovely story about in 2001, he washed and kissed the feet of AIDS patients in a hospice. So that indicates, I think, a kind of pastoral bent that promises a great deal for the church. Because, as you know, while Pope Benedict was a brilliant theologian, he did not have pastoral experience. And this cardinal has spent all of his life, really, in Argentina. Now, he is on some commissions in Rome, so he goes to Rome, but he's not part of the curia or the curial establishment.
Which means what?
Which means he's not a papal, he's not an insider.
Mm-hmm.
He's not in the diplomatic corps. He wasn't the head of the curial, the offices.
Right,
you know?
right.
I guess the best way to say it is he's not an insider. And he's been, you know, he spent his life as a priest and a bishop and then as a cardinal in Argentina. You may know that at some point he decided, well, I think you mentioned he divested himself of of the archbishop's house and lives in a very simple apartment.
Right.
He also rode the bus to work. And as one who has ridden the bus in Baltimore, I can tell you that it's a very different experience from driving, or in his case, he was even being chauffeured around and didn't want that. So I think that's indicative also of a man who made a decision to put himself in touch with simple, ordinary people and to give them access to him. The choice of the name Francis is interesting as well. When St. Francis received his mystical call from God, the voice said, Francis, I want you to rebuild my church.
Hmm.
Now, Francis interpreted that liturgy literally and thought it meant to rebuild a church at San Damiano, which was in disrepair. which he did. But I think eventually he also understood that it was metaphorical, that he was called to rebuild a church that was in crisis. So the choice of this name, I think, is really very, very interesting.
And I what about what you the kind of possibilities and contradictions of a pope who's very conservative theologically in many ways, opposed liberation theology and more, and gay marriage and the rest, but at the same time is someone who has taken on capitalism and the free market system and has said things about social justice. What does that portend?
Well, I think it means there won't be any change in the rules, but there may be some more latitude in the way the rules are applied. For instance, I also read that he has castigated priests who refuse to baptize the children of single mothers.
Hmm.
And to me, that speaks of a pastoral judgment. In other words, sometimes the rules that are in place punish the innocent. So if a woman has had a child out of wedlock, yes, she has flaunted or she finds herself outside the rules of the Catholic Church. But the baby had nothing to do with it. So to say the baby can't be baptized would be a kind of rigorism that's just intolerable, at least intolerable to a pastoral heart. Now, there are plenty of people, you know, who think that's, that's the way it should be. But that he made this judgment tells me that while he may not change any of the rules in place, he may be much more understanding about the way in which sometimes rules punish, as I said, the innocent, and may act against that. The use of condoms, for instance, is one of the examples. I'm not sure where he stands on that, but even Pope Benedict was beginning to say toward the end that perhaps that was permissible to protect the innocent party. So there's a great difference between rewriting the rules, which many of us, of course, have hoped would happen. I don't think that's going to happen under this papacy. But if at least there was some latitude in application of the rules, that would be a better day.
Well, we'll take a longer look at this in the coming weeks and talk more about this with a series of guests, including our guest just now, right now, Sister Mary Aquin O'Neill, who's Sister of Mercy and a theologian, co-founder of the Mount St. Agnes Theological Center for Women. Sister Mary Aquin O'Neill, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for taking the time today for our listeners.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so
God
much.
God bless.
God bless you. We talked about the new Pope, Pope Francis I, Jorge Mario Bergoglio, Cardinal from Argentina. We'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. On the way out of here, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's not just a bank, it's a credit union that belongs to you. www.mecu.com or go on steinershow.org, click on their banner, it's always there. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, mecu.com. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Bobby Marvin Holmes, Mark Gunnery, and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer tonight is Andre Melton. Our interns are Lila Warshaw, and we welcome Michelle Zai from Temple University, interning with us for a week, and she's been working very hard with us. Good to have her with us. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, and hear new interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. Did I say Z? I meant Zay. Zai. Zai. Sorry, Michelle. Michelle Zai. I'll get it right tomorrow. And for Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.